talk today about a few of this week's Parsha Shoftim. There are many, many mitzvahs. It's jam-packed. This week's Parsha Shoftim is jam-packed with many mitzvahs. Among the mitzvahs are the laws of the Kohanim. Let me read you a few psukim. Zeh yihi en mishpat ha-kohanim yesa'am. When you bring a sacrifice, or it's not a sacrifice, when you slaughter an animal, you are required to give to the kohen hazeroya, the halachayim v'hakeva. Okay, the zroya is the right leg, the lechayim is the cheekbone, and the keva is one of the four stomachs. These things are the gifts that are meant to go to the kohanim. Next comes reishis. Then we have the truman meiser. Reishis the goncha tirosh mitzvecha, and then it says the reishis gaze tzoncha titein lo. Okay, so let's the kivoy bochar in them Hashem has chosen b'chol shvedecha lamo l'sharis b'shem Hashem hu ubonav kol hayomim. Since they have no chelik in Eretz Yisrael, in the land, therefore we have a duty to support them. We support them in many ways. We give them from our grain, from our vineyard. We give them for clothing, gracious hagez, the first shearings of wool, and we give them meat. Meat is the zeroya, the lechayayin, the hakeva. So the question is, halacha lemaisa, what?
Tongue.
Okay, the lechayim is the tongue. These things are given the gifts. So the question is, do these things apply bizman hazeh? Did you ever see Bizman? Any Kohanim here? Who are any Kohanim here in the audience?
What?
Any Kohanim here? He's not here today? Okay, so did you ever see a Kohen Bizman Hazeh get the Zeroya, the Lechayayim, the Hakeva? What? No. It's not Kachem. This has nothing to do with Kachem. This does not any slaughtered animal. There is an obligation to give the koyin, the zuraya, the lechayayim, the hakeva. So the question is, why don't we do this bisman? That's a very tough question. So first of all, someone said that in
chud.
What? The Sheikhid, why the Sheikhid? No, the Sheikhid is no mitzvah to give to the Sheikhid, it's a mitzvah to go give to the Kohanim. So the question is, why don't we do this bizman chazna? First of all, in Chutziyar is the general minig is not to do this. One of the reasons we don't do this, the primary reason why we don't do this, that everyone pretty much says, is we don't have bizman hazeh kohanim miyuchasim. That appears to be the primary reason. Now let's say we do find ourselves a kohen who claims to be a miyuchas. Do we do it? So in Chanami, it appears that in Eretz Yisrael, there are chilukei deos. Some do, some do. Halacha l'maaseh, it appears that Rabbi Shulam Diskin, he was the Rav of Yerushalayim. He instituted that they do it. They don't give the actual meat. They redeem it and they give money. That the slaughterhouses in Eretz Yisrael, at least in Yerushalayim, I don't know what goes on today, but he brings down here in this sefer. The sefer is called Oitza Machmadim. That Yerub Shulam Diskin, he instituted in his time that the slaughterhouse, they redeem it and they give money to the Kohanim in exchange for the Zeroya, the Lechayayim, the Hakeva. What?
The worth of it?
I'm not sure the worth. I don't think you have to give the full amount. It seems not. It seems they would not give the full amount, but they would give a significant amount. That's what it seems. Yes, Reish will come to that a little bit better. We'll come to that in a few more. There are more reasons why we don't do Bizman Hazeh. We'll come to that in a few moments. Now there are a lot of different opinions on this. Okay, first of all, big questions. Let's say you do it Bizman Hazeh. Let's say you have someone in Yisrael. He has raising animals and he wants to do it. Does he do it? So he can do it. Do you make a baracha? Do you make a bracha when you mafrish? So we all know that when we do bizman hazeh pidyon haben. Let's compare the case of giving the zeraya, the lechayam v'akeva, to pidyon haben. Do you make a bracha bizman hazeh when you do pidyon haben? Absolutely. Is the koyin miyuchas? Not necessarily.
No.
Not any better miyuchas than.
That's why. So what do they tell you to do? A lot of people go around giving
money back.
Kahanim.
They give various kahanim. Well, they give, but you make a bracha. How you want to make a bracha? So someone said the reason why you don't make a bracha. So there's a very big fun. There's a very big. You said the fundamental difference. Pidyon haben, the mitzvah is the pidyon. This opens up a whole new yisod understanding why we don't do it. Pidyon haben, the child has to be redeemed no matter what. Now there's a secondary problem. Well, what do we do with the money? What do we do with the money? I have a child. I have to redeem the child. So what do I do with the money? So the money, I'll give the money. The Torah says, give the money to the kohen. Oh, let's say the kohen's not for real. He's a fraud. He's a make-believe kohen. Okay, so that's his problem. He took the money illegally. But I have to redeem the money. The money has kedusha. So the bracha is on the redemption. It's not on the nice and the sina to the... There's a tanai. I can't do the redemption unless I have in front of me a coin. If the coin is not 100%, that's not going to hold me back from doing the ma'isa mitzvah, which is the pinyon. Reishis hagez l'chol hadeo is the result. Is that the result is the coin should receive the reishis hagez, the wool, and also should receive the meat. The zeroya the l'chayam v'akeva. So it's not, there's no hafrosh, there's no din giving. It's not that the animal is tevel. You have an animal. The animal can be worth 5,000. What is an animal worth? A full animal. How much is it worth in the market? The meat.
Depends on a live animal.
$100. $100.
Yeah,
$200. So the animal is not that is. And after it's geschachten,
then it's worth a lot, a few dollars a pound.
So after the animal, it's not that there's a din tevel. There's no din tevel on the animal that I have to go and remove the lezeroya. The animal is chulin. There's just a gift. And the gift is not to separate the gift. The gift is that the gift should be given to the kohen. If you don't have a kohen, therefore you have no obligation to do so. Some also want to hold that we compare it to that only applies in the Eretz. I'm not exactly sure why this should be. It only applies to Eretz Yisrael. Does not apply in Chutz Yaretz. I'm not exactly sure what the makar for that is. And that would explain why we don't do it in Chutz Yaretz. The Gra, he brings here from the Gra
that...
Even in Chutz Liaretz. But no, that's only generally, but that's only one of the produce of Eretz Yisrael. The Zroel Lechaim is not dependent upon the produce. It's an animal, it's a gift. Should not make a difference. He brings here that the Gra, the Talmidei HaGra.
The governor of the Kohen, or the governor of the Kohen?
What? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But the Truma Samayas have to grow in Eretz Yisrael. It's in the Karaka. You can. Technically, you can. You can. Okay, now, he brings down here from the Gra, the Talmidei HaGra write that the Gra, possibly, you make a bracha. The Gra himself, who did not live in Eretz Yisrael, the Gra we know never made it to Eretz Yisrael, the Gra himself did the mitzvah of Zeroya Lechayim V'Akeva, and he made a bracha. He actually gave it to a coin. He felt it was a coin, and he made a bracha. Not like what we just mentioned, the sheet of the Rishonim, most Rishonim hold that you don't make a bracha because the bracha is not on the hafrash. The bracha is that the coin should get it. And if the coin gets it, or even I'm not saying it right. It's mishulchan gavoya kozochi. It's not even the Yisrael. So here's another hakira. Is it the pshat that the Yisrael owns it, the zeroya, the lechayim, the akeva, and now you give it to the coin? But no, I never owned it. It was the coins to begin with. Then you would not make a bracha. The Grohel, no, it's not the way it works. You, the Yisrael, own it. And you're making a conscious decision to give it. Therefore, indeed, the Groh paskin that you should make a bracha. And this applies even in Chutz Liaretz. And if you have a coin, you can do it. So the Groh went all out, and the Groh himself was mafresh, Zroel Chayel Akeva. I guess he had to buy animals, to own an animal to do it, and he did it, and he gave it to the guy
he gave it.
Possibly. The Chassam Sofer also, it says, did it. Okay, the Chassam Sofer in Hungary, Pressburg. The Chassam Sofer also, he was mafresh, he gave Zroya Lechem Yakeva. In fact, they actually bring down that it was the Minog that by Pidyon HaBen. By Pidyon HaBen, the Minog was, they did a double ceremony. A double ceremony. The Kohen that they gave, they made a suda for, they may have to make a suda, a lavish suda for Pidyon HaBen. So the Kohen, which was the Kohen that received the Pidyon HaBen, was the Kohen also got the Zeroya, the Lechayim Akeva from the suda that they made in honor of the Pidyon HaBen. So, what? Okay, now there are a lot of rules. Okay, there are a lot of rules of how much.
They go cheap.
Okay, as we mentioned, the narrative showed that Maril Diskin, Rabbi Shul Lev Diskin, this is what he did. He instituted that in the slaughterhouses, they would give them money in exchange. They would redeem it and give them money in exchange. I just want to point out that there's a Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Megillah says, okay, it's important. The Gemara Shalu Talmidav Es Rebbe. The Gemara Masechta Megillah Chav Zayin Amabes, a very popular Masechta. Shalu Talmidav Es Rebbe Perida Bane Herachto Yamin. In what merit you live a long life? Amalohem Miyamai Loi Kadmani Adam Lebes Hamidrash. Number one, I was always the first in, first out. Number two, V'lo yachalti mibehema. I never ate from a behema shaloi hurmu matanoi seha. And what does that mean? From the farshim there, explain on the side of the Gemara, shloyachalti means that I did not eat from an animal that they were not mafresh zeroya lechayayim v'hakeva. A new chumrah today for today's society. Looking for chumras to every animal.
Lechayayim v'hakeva, probably 98% of them are
worthless.
Not used. Because it's so labor intensive to make it kosher.
And what about the zeroya? The zeroya.
The stomach also.
It's not.
There's a shyle, the upper jaw, the bottom jaw. It's not the same.
Either way,
it's not.
Either way, it's very difficult to drink.
Well, the
tongue
can sell it.
Lucia is very expensive. Lucia is the tongue. Not the chuyar.
But you know, the jaw and the mouth.
I'm giving it to him as it is.
Okay, another halacha is the reishis hagez, giving the wool, the first shearing of wool to the kohen. Why is this not done? It's not very common that it's done. All the same issues you have when it comes to the Zerah L'chaim, you have the same shots when it comes to the reishis hagez. Do you do it in the Chutz Yaretz? Do you do it in Eretz Yisrael? The same achlekes. Do you make a bracha? Do you not make a bracha? Another one of the real bismanas that we do not have koyanim yuchasim. Now, one of the reasons why we don't do it is because the wool. The Rambam says the wool has to be fit to make clothing. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, the Mitzvah says they do not use the wool from sheep to make clothing. The quality of the wool of the animals, the sheep that live that are raised in Eretz Yisrael are not of the quality that are used in industry today to produce wool, that they use for clothing. They use it for other things. And therefore, the Rambam makes it very clear that since the entire purpose, Reish's gaze, I don't know where the Makar comes from, the wool must be used to make clothing. And if it cannot be used to make clothing, then there is no requirement to give from that wool to the Kohen. So here is the Chakir, the dilemma. In Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Hazed, the Mitzias is, they do not, nowhere, at least that I know of, that's what it says over here in the Sefer, use wool from sheep to make clothing. It's just not industry standard. All the wool in Eretz Yisrael comes from sheep from other parts of the world. Now, does that mean that if we would try, it wouldn't work? It would work. If we would go and we would take the wool from the sheep in Eretz Yisrael and make a garment, a woolen garment, we can make a woolen garment. It's just that it's way below industry standard. So the question is, how does that affect halacha? And here there are major chiluke deos. So many parties can see that since today there's an accepted standard in society of what quality wood is sufficient to make clothing, and the wool in Eretz Yisrael does not make it to that standard, that's it. It's pater min ha-Torah from reishis hages. Others say no. Just because outside of Eretz Yisrael there's a much higher quality wool doesn't take away from the fact that if you would want, you could make clothing bizman hazeh from the wool in Eretz Yisrael. So you should be chayiv in reishis hagez. So that is a dilemma among the paiskim. Another issue is that the wool, the sheep in Eretz Yisrael do not have what's called an aliyah, a fat tail. In other words, there's a different type, different species. The type of sheep today, there are different species in which these type of sheep would not be kosher for a carbon. They're different kind. We are thinking about kvasim and ezim. A keves has to have an aliyah. If the keves does not have an aliyah, it's not a kosher keves. So the keves in Eretz Yisrael, the sheep that are roaming around Eretz Yisrael today, do not have what's called an aliyah. The males, I'm not sure. That's what I'm not sure. That's what it says. They don't. They're a different type. So if maybe those sheep are not even called a keves, that should be chayi bechlal in reishis sages. So that's another dilemma. That's another dilemma. The animal has to be a keves that would normally be called a keves of the Torah, that would be right to be a carbon, or it's, as long as it's part of the general min, that would be sufficient. There are other conditions that have to be met. You have to have at least five sheep. You have to have at least five sheep. They have to produce a certain significant amount of wool. It's not so easy, and it has to be owned by a Jew. There are a lot of technical complications that are necessary in order to mekayim the mitzvah. It seems over here that every once in a while they do make a ceremony where they take a kohen miyuchas, and they do have fulfill all the conditions, at least to remind us that there is called the mitzvah of reishis hages. Okay, now there's another interesting chakira, and that is the chakira of how is reishis hages different than truma and meiser. Now here's the question: there's a stira in the Mishnayis, at least in halacha, between the laws of truma and the chala versus reishis hages. The Mishnah says if a person takes all of his produce, every drop, you have a silo, and you say, I want the entire thing to be truma. It's the Mefarish Mishnah, it doesn't work. If you have a dough, I want the entire dough to be challah, it doesn't work. There has to be reishis mashma sheshireha nikaren. There must be something left over. There must be something I separate the reishis, and there are shirayim. Yet the Mishnah also says that if a person decides that all of the wool of the animal shall be as a gift, reishis hages, it all gets kedusha. So the question is, what's the difference? It all goes to the kohen. We didn't reishis hages. The question is, what's the difference? The same word that's used by challah and by chuma, reishis ariso seichan, reishis tuvuasa. It's the same word that's used by Truma and by Chala is the word that's used in this week's parasha. Reishis hages, you shall give to the Kohen. So some answer, a technical answer, is that our parasha just says reishis. It does not say mi reishis. Here the pasuk. I lost the pasuk.
By Arisa, it uses the word meireishis from Arisa Seichel.
So where you have the mem has a connotation that there must be sheshireha nikar, there must be a leftover. But here in this week's parasha only says reishis hages, there is no mem, mi reishis, that's why you can separate the entire thing. That's one answer. But there's a much more fundamental answer, a much better answer. The answer is, when it comes to challah and shuma, the produce is tevel. The produce is tevel, when you're being mafresh, you're accomplishing two things. Not only are you giving to the kohen, you're also being matir. The purpose of being mafresh, chuma samaisra, of chuma and chala, is to be matir, to be matir the leftovers. So in order to accomplish the goal, to be matir the leftovers, since you're starting out with something that is tevel, and by separating a small amount, you're being matir the leftovers, then you must have shishirecha nikaret. But when it comes to reishis hages, it's mutter to begin with. There's no halach that if you do not give the gift to the kohen, your animal, all of the remainder of the wool remains us. The wool is mutter no matter what. It's a gift. So you want to give everything to the kohen, gezunte, you can give everything else to the kohen. And that is another very big nafminullah halacha. Nafminullah halacha is, what happens if you don't want to be mafresh, you're not interested in eating the produce? You have a silo, and the silo is tevel. This is a very big chakir. This is a chakir. The machlekes the Taz and the Magen Avram. It's a big chakir. I'm not sure the Magen Avram. This is a machlekes achreinim in this issue. If you have a silo of grain, and I'm just not interested. I have no use for the grain. The grain is tevel, and I have plenty of what to eat, and let it just sit and rot. I don't care about it. Is there a mitzvah upon you, an obligation upon you to get up and to be mafresh to truma? What's the chakira? Is the requirement to be mafresh truma only when I want to eat it? It's a matir. If I want to eat the grain, I have an obligation. What? After I'm mafresh it, then I have to give it. But if I is there a kum da'aser mitzvahs, kum da'aser, listen, you have a silo.
There's no mechir for him to bring it into the bayis either.
But so the question is, I should be mechayiv, man, there's a mitzvah for me, I have to give the kohen. Maybe you look at the mitzvah, the kohen has to get something to eat. So I have an obligation, even if I have no desire to eat my grain, I have no desire, who cares about me? You have to care about the kohen. You have an obligation to go through the motions, to bring it into the house, and to bring it to a matzah where it's mechayiv and shum ma'aser, to be ma'af and shum ma'aser, and give it to the kohen. And then you have leftovers, you don't want the leftovers, so throw in the garbage. Do whatever you want the leftovers. Or no. There's no chiv whatsoever. The Torah says, if you want to eat for yourself, oh, you want to eat, before you can eat, you have to go be mafresh. So the Taz is a very big chiddush. Not everyone agrees with this. The Taz says, there is absolutely no chiv whatsoever to be mafresh, truma. The din of truma is only if you want to eat it, there's an impediment. The impediment is, you have to first take away the truma and give it to the kohen. Now, then this is the hakir. Now this is the chiddush of the Taz, and others disagree. The same hakir is applied in two other shaylos. The next question is bikurim, first fruits. Let's say I have no desire. I have an orchard. I have and fruits. I have no desire to eat the leftovers. Do I have an obligation to take the first fruits and make my pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, v'yinach l'fnei Hashem elokach, and do mitzvah bikurim when I have no desire to eat the leftovers? So most places can say you have an obligation to do so even if you have no desire to eat the leftovers. It's not a din in the leftovers. And the chiluk they make in those two cases is because when it comes to bikurim, bikurim is not tevel. If you are not mafresh bikurim, during the shirayim is mutter. It's you just have been mavatel mitzvah bringing bikurim. You missed out a mitzvah, but there's no din of tevel when it comes to truma. Being the Torah says that the leftovers are tevel, so it's osur. So if you want to eat it, so you have to be mafresh truma in order to eat it. That's the difference. So when does something become a mitzvah kum v'yaseh? Is when the Torah told you to do it and you have nothing to gain from it. Maisha is the same thing like Chuma, because there it's tevel. That's part of the rule. Anything which is osur for you, it's osur. Until you do something, according to the Taz, it's not a mitzvah. Because the Torah says, if you have your own incentive, I want to eat it. If you want to eat it, you have an impediment. The impediment is tevel, so you have the mafas Chuma Samaisha.
If you want to sell it to him.
Yes, ma'is on it, same thing. You have no chiv to give him according to the Taz. It's a chiddush. According to the Taz, there's no chiv to give ma'is on it. If you want to eat your produce, so then I have to be mafresh ma'is on it. Now once I'm mafresh ma'is on it, I have to go give it to the poor man. But the Torah did not require you to, because anyway you're not going to derive any benefit. But when it comes to bikurim, where the Torah did not hold you back from eating the leftovers, and also gave you a mitzvah bikurim, so then the mitzvah bikurim is an independent mitzvah entirely. So many Paiskim say that the same exact thing is going, you learn, you have to take the same yisoid and apply it to Reishis Hagez and the Zeroya the L'chayayim V'akeva. I shech the animal, I have in the freezer $1,000 worth of meat. $1,000 worth of meat, and part of the meat in the freezer is the Zeroya the L'chayayim V'akeva. I have in my closet wool stacked up to the ceiling, and I have also the Reishis Hagez. Is the same chakira? Is it the pshat that I only have an obligation to give the reishis hageis and the zeraya, the lechayim v'akeva, if I choose to use in the leftovers? Or no, I have a chiv to give the kohen his gift, even if I choose to throw in the garbage all of the wool?
Yeah,
what?
Why
am I not a shechted?
Why are you shechting it for if you're going to throw it away?
Animal's going to die. Animal's getting old. If I'm not going to shecht, now. What? I'm putting it in the freezer. My show you what?
It's a mitzvahs.
What?
Why aren't you allowed to? You should
shecht to do the mitzvah kisi adam. V'zavach that's a machlekes. Is v'zavach that's another machlekes. Is v'zavach the parshas basa taiva. If you want to eat basar, then you have to do a ma'aser shechita. That's a machlekes. But here, so the yesoid is as follows. This is the yesoid. We learn the model. The shorish is the chilek between bikurim and ma'aser. Let's learn with the Taz. When something is tevel, it's osur, and you need to do a ma'aser to be mata the tevel, then it's not a mitzvah. But if something is mutter, and the Torah told you to do something anyway, like bikurim is not going to make the leftovers into tevel. The leftovers are mutter. There's a mitzvah of tevel. So that is the template we're going to use to apply to the laws of Reish, Sagez, and Zeroya v'Alecham v'Akeva. Being that Zeroya L'chaim v'akeva and Reish Sageiz does not prohibit the Shirayim, its mutter, that automatically means that separating the Reish Sageiz and the Zerayim L'chaim v'akeva is a mitzvah no matter what. You have an obligation, even if you're not planning on using the leftover wool, you're not planning on eating the leftover meat, you still have an obligation to get up and be mafresh to separate the portion to the Kohen, the Reish Sageiz, and to give the Zerayim L'chaim v'akeva to the Kohen. Okay, we'll stop here.